And now it's time for The Last Call with Pastor Marty Nutter of Faith Lutheran Church in Tullahoma.
Today is Transfiguration Sunday, the Transfiguration of our Lord. Transfiguration Sunday is always the last Sunday after Epiphany, and it's always the last Sunday before entering the season of Lent. This coming Wednesday, we enter Lent with Ash Wednesday, the first day of Lent. Now, transfiguration, or the word transfigure, means to change in figure, or to change in appearance. And that's exactly what happens to Jesus on that mountain. The appearance of his face changed. His clothing became dazzling white. And this account, the transfiguration of our Lord, is recorded by three of the four gospel accounts. It's recorded here in Matthew's gospel, and also in Mark, and in Luke. So important was this event that three of the four gospel accounts record it. Jesus had taken his closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, and led them up to a high mountain. Now, we're not exactly sure just what mountain it was. Some believe it was Mount Tabor, located southeast of Nazareth. Others believe that it was Mount Hermon, located in the Golan Heights, and which reaches an altitude of 9,000 feet above sea level. Yet whether it was Mount Tabor or Mount Hermon or even another mountain, mountains are often the place of divine revelation. Abraham had taken his son Isaac to offer him as a sacrifice on Mount Moriah. God gave Moses the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. It was on Mount Carmel that God answered Elijah by fire before Ahab the king and before all the people and the false prophets of Baal. And there are numerous other mountains where God revealed himself. Jesus had gone up to this mountain to pray. And it's Luke's gospel and Luke's gospel alone that tells us that. Jesus had gone up to this mountain to pray, and he had taken with him three of his closest disciples, Peter, James, and John. And at the top of this mountain, a place away from it all, a place of seclusion, Jesus was engaged in prayer. And as he was praying, he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah appeared in glory on that mountain with Jesus and spoke with him of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Moses and Elijah, Moses the lawgiver, and Elijah the prophet, and Jesus. And here you have Moses and Elijah, two prominent men of the Old Testament, representing in a very real sense the law and the prophets, and Jesus, the fulfiller of both of them. Moses had gone to Mount Sinai where he had received the Ten Commandments. Elijah, who had ascended to Mount Carmel and stood steadfast as God's prophet against King Ahab and the prophets of Baal. Moses and Elijah. And both Moses and Elijah had unusual departures. Moses climbed Mount Nebo. Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah, across from Jericho. And God showed Moses the whole land. And you can see much of Israel from up there. God showed Moses the whole land, and he said to him, "This is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when I said, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your own eyes, but you will not cross over into it." And Moses died there in Moab. And the Lord buried Moses in Moab. But to this day, no one knows where his grave is. There's a marker there on Mount Nebo that says, God buried Moses. And to this day, no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. And then the unusual departure of Elijah. Elijah did not see physical death. Only a few people are ever mentioned in Scripture that did not meet physical death. Elijah is one of them. Also Enoch, for God took him, but only a few. 2 Kings chapter 2, as Elijah and Elisha were walking along and talking together, when suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind, and Elisha saw him no more. Moses, Elijah, Jesus, all had unusual departures. Because you see, Jesus died physically, but he also rose from the dead. And on that third day, Christ rose from the dead, says the Bible. He is alive and stands ready to come back. On that mountain, Simon Peter, not knowing what to say, said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Peter was still speaking when what? A bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." A voice from the cloud that said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Listen to him. And you and I are called to listen to him, to listen to Jesus. Who is it that you're listening to? Listen to him. And the disciples fell to their faces and were terrified. Yet Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And the Bible tells us, when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus. In this world in which we live, perhaps there are times when you're terrified, you're shaken, you're afraid, especially as you hear of so many things happening throughout the world today. Every morning when I turn on the television and watch the news, I'm amazed of just how many murders and robberies took place overnight in Nashville. Or maybe it's a feeling of loneliness that you have, the feeling no one cares about me. I feel so alone. Maybe it's depression, whatever it is. And it's also at that point that Jesus comes to us right where we are, and he touches us and says, "Rise, have no fear." And when we lift up our eyes, we see no one but Jesus. Jesus comes down from that mountain. And as he does, in a sense, we come with him. We follow him into the valleys. We follow him to Jerusalem. We follow him through all the agony that he endured on our behalf. We follow him to the cross. We're crucified with him, as it were, and we are buried with him. Paul, in writing to the Christians in Rome, said, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ has been raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." We've been buried with him, and to those who possess the Spirit of the living God burning in them like a bright burning coal, then you have also been raised from the dead with him. It means that we are partakers in the glory of Jesus, a glory that we didn't earn or buy or anything like that, but a glory that's imputed to us by the Holy Spirit. Think of yourself as being transfigured, transformed, changed, because that's exactly what has happened to you as you live in Christ. And in his power, the power of his death on that cross for you, the power of his resurrection from the dead for you, that becomes your glory. And as a result of it, you become a changed individual. Romans 12, verse 2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind and by the power of the Holy Spirit." My prayer for you on this Transfiguration Sunday is that you see the glory of Jesus in his cross, in his resurrection, and in your life. May God's Spirit strengthen you so that you grow as that transfigured individual which he has called you to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
"'Tis good, Lord, to be here. Thy glory fills the night. Thy face and God. sunshine with unborrowed light. 'Tis good, Lord, to be here, thy beauty to behold, where Moses and Elijah stand, thy messengers of old. Fulfiller of the past and hope of things to be, we hail thy body glorified and our redemption see. Before we taste of death, we see thy kingdom come. We long to hold the vision bright and make this hill our home. 'Tis good, Lord, to be here, yet we may not remain. But since thou bidst us leave the mount, come with us to the plain.
This may well be your last call to ever hear and respond to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't delay. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2.